Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldreich, and today Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Mem Zayin, the third parak, Cheskas Abatim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, our Braisa teaches that although an Uman cannot establish a Chazaka, Yard Mimunuso Yeshua Chazaka, if he left his profession, he can establish a Chazaka. Similarly, an Aris who left his profession can establish a Chazaka. Ben Shachalak, regarding a son who separated from his father's support, V'isha Shinizgarsha, and a woman who was divorced, they are like all other people and can establish a chazaka since they no longer receive support from the father and husband, respectively. The case of a son is a chiddush, for one might have thought, the father waives his rights regarding a son and doesn't protest his occupation. But the case of the divorcee is obvious, since he hates her and would not allow her to consume his produce. The Gemara answers that the case is b'megureshes ve'einu megureshes, where she's divorced and not divorced, meaning a suffix if her divorce was effective, because Rabbi Zerah taught that the husband must support her. Still, he would only give her produce when compelled and would not allow her to occupy his property. Pointing to the Rav Nachman, said the Rav Huna told him, Kun Shehivu Raya, all of them, an Uman, an Aris, and so on, if they bring proof, such as Adim, that the owner admitted selling it, or a shtar of sale, Raya and Raya, their proof is accepted as proof, Umamid and Sadam Yodan, and we place the field in their possession, Gazlan Shehivu Raya. However, if a robber brings proof, in Raya so Raya, his proof is not accepted as proof. The Rashbam references Rav Kahana's explanation on this stuff, that the victim felt compelled to falsely confess or write a shtar of sale, knowing that if he would not, the Gazan would have handed him and his donkey to the captain for confiscation. The Gemara says that a Mishnah already taught that if one buys property from a sikrikon, an extortionist who threatens to kill those who will not sell him their property, even if the first owner also sells it to him, the sale is invalid since the owner may have acted out of fear. The Gemara answers that Rav Huna taught that even if he wrote a shtar of sale, which Rav holds as valid, the buyer still does not own the property like Shmuel holds. And point number three, Ravivi quoted Rav Nachman saying that although a sale to a gazlan is invalid, the gazlan's money is refunded. The Rashbam infers that Rav Nachman invalidates a sale even where money was paid. Rav Huna disagrees and says, tell Yehu v'Zavin, if they hung him or otherwise afflicted him, and he sold to them what they demanded, a zvini zvini, his sale is a valid sale. This is initially explained, called the mezabin inish, anything a person sells, he loved the anis, loved mezabin. If he were not pressed for money, he would not have sold it. Yet his sale is a valid sale. Here too, a sale made under physical duress should be valid. This comparison is rejected. Perhaps internal duress is different from external duress, and though one sincerely agrees to sell personal items when pressed for money, he does not do so when others force him to sell. The Gemara ultimately explains on the next daf, Svorahu, it's a Svora. Agavun say Gamru Umakne, because of his duress, he agrees to transfer it sincerely when he receives payment and loses nothing. So once again, the 3 points are in Mona Bryce. It teaches that although an Uman cannot establish a Chazaka, Yard Munuso Yeshua Chazaka, if he left his profession, he can establish a Chazaka. Similarly, an Aris who left his profession can establish a Chazaka. Ben Shachalak, regarding a son who separated from his father's support, V'isha Shinizgarsha, and a woman who was divorced, they are like all other people and can establish a chazaka since they no longer receive support from the father and husband, respectively. The case of a son is a chiddush, for one might have thought, the father waives his rights regarding a son and doesn't protest his occupation. But the case of the divorcee is obvious since he hates her and would not allow her to consume his produce. The Gemara answers that the case is b'megureshes ve'einu megureshes, where she's divorced and not divorced, meaning a suffix if her divorce was effective, because Rabbi Zerah taught that the husband must support her. Still, he would only give her produce when compelled and would not allow her to occupy his property. Pointing to the Rav Nachman, said the Rav Huna told him, Kun Shehivu Raya, all of them, an Uman, an Aris, and so on, if they bring proof, such as Adim, that the owner admitted selling it, or a shtar of sale, Rayas and Raya, their proof is accepted as proof, Umamid and Sadam Yodan, and we place the field in their possession, Gazlan Shehivu Raya. However, if a robber brings proof, in Rayas or Raya, his proof is not accepted as proof. The Rashbam references Rav Kahana's explanation on this stuff, that the victim felt compelled to falsely confess or write a shtar of sale, knowing that if he would not, the Gazan would have handed him and his donkey to the captain for confiscation. The Gemara says that a Mishnah already taught that if one buys property from a sikrikon, an extortionist who threatens to kill those who will not sell him their property, even if the first owner also sells it to him, the sale is invalid since the owner may have acted out of fear. The Gemara answers that Rav Huna taught that even if he wrote a shtar of sale, which Rav holds as valid, the buyer still does not own the property like Shmuel holds. And point number three, Ravivi quoted Rav Nachman saying that although a sale to a gazlan is invalid, the gazlan's money is refunded. The Rashbam infers that Rav Nachman invalidates a sale even where money was paid. Rav Huna disagrees and says, tell Yehu v'Zavin, if they hung him or otherwise afflicted him, and he sold to them what they demanded, a zvini zvini, his sale is a valid sale. This is initially explained, called the mezabin inish, anything a person sells, he loved the anis, loved mezabin. If he were not pressed for money, he would not have sold it. Yet his sale is a valid sale. Here too, a sale made under physical duress should be valid. This comparison is rejected. Perhaps internal duress is different from external duress, and though one sincerely agrees to sell personal items when pressed for money, he does not do so when others force him to sell. The Gemara ultimately explains on the next daf, Svorahu, it's a Svorah. Agavun say Gamru Umakne, because of his duress, he agrees to transfer it sincerely when he receives payment and loses nothing. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem Zayin, and her standard Siman is a maize. A maize. So here goes. The owner of the corn maize field was left with nothing when his son who walked away from his support made a chazakah on one maize field, and an aris, who was not a gazlan, produced a shtar, proving purchase of another, and he was hung up and forced at gunpoint to sell his last one, which is a valid sale because Telyuhu Vizabin Zvine Zvine. Once again, it's a motion. The owner of the corn maize, that must be Mem Daf Mem Zayin. The owner of the corn maize field was left with nothing when a son who walked away from his support made a chazakah on one maize field, which reminds us a son who separated from his father's support is like all the people and can establish a chazakah since he no longer receives support from the father. This is a chiddush since one might have thought the father waives his rights regarding his son and does not protest his occupation. So the owner of the corn maize field was left with nothing when a son who walked away from his support made a chazakah on one maize field, and an aris, who was not a gazlan, produced a shtar, proving purchase of another, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said the Rav Huna told him, Kun Shehiviu Raya, all of them referring to an Uman and Aris, if they bring proof such as aiding that the owner admitted selling it or a shtar of sale, Raya and Raya, their proof is accepted as proof. Umamidin Sada Biyada, and we place the field in their possession. Gazan Shehiviu Raya, however, if a Gazan brings proof, Ein Raya Saraya, his proof is not accepted as proof. The Rashbam references Rav Kahana's explanation on this daf that the victim felt compelled to falsely confess or write a shtar of sale, knowing that if he would not, the Gazan would have handed him and his donkey to the captain for confiscation. So the owner of the corn maize field was left with nothing when a son who walked away from his support made a chazakah on one maize field, and an aris who was not a gazlan produced a shtar, proving purchase of another, and he was hung up and forced at gunpoint to sell his last one, which was a valid sale because Talyu Vizavin Zvine Zvine, which reminds us, Rabbi quoted Rav Nachman saying that although a sale to a gazlan is invalid, the robber's money is refunded. The Rashbam infers that Rav Nachman validates the sale even where money was paid. Rav Huna disagrees and says, Talyu Vizavin, if they hung him or otherwise afflicted him and he sold to them what they demanded, Zvine Zvine, his sale is a valid sale. This is initially explained, called the mezabin inish, anything a person sells, he loved the anisu, loved the mezabin. If he were not pressed for money, he would not have sold it, yet his sale is a valid sale. Here too, a sale made under physical duress should be valid. This comparison is rejected. So once again, the owner of the corn maize field was left with nothing when his son, who walked away from his support, made a chazakah on one maize field, and an aris, who was not a gazlan, produced a shtar, proving purchase of another, and he was hung up and forced at gunpoint to sell his last one, which was a valid sale because Talyu Vizavin Zvine Zvine. All right, so now it's time for Four Blabach Hazara. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simra Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The story in Ada's magazine. Magazine? That must be more on Daf Mem Gimel. The story in Ada's magazine about how one shutuf was able to testify on behalf of the other, which reminds us, on the previous daf, Shmuel said that shutufim can testify for one another, meaning, if one person's ownership is challenged, the other can testify on his behalf. The Gemara asks, Amai nogim be'edusinhen? Why? But they have an interest in their testimony. Since they own the land jointly, any loss in the court case harms both partners. It answers that the shutuf testifying gave up his right in the property by writing to his partner, Dinu dvarim einli al sadazu, I have no claim or argument regarding this field. Although such a declaration is usually ineffective for property one already owns, the case is Kashikanu Miyadu, where Shutuf additionally acquired it from him with Chalipin. So the story in Ada's magazine about how one Shutuf was able to testify on behalf of the other was opposite the picture of the townspeople whose Sefer Torah was stolen being told they cannot serve as judges or witnesses in the case, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa, B'nei Yerushim Nignav Sefer Torah Shalhen. If townspeople had their Sefer Torah stolen, they cannot serve as judges or witnesses in the case because of their personal interests. The Gemara asks, let two of them withdraw from their rights in the Sefer Torah and let them try the case with their testimony. It answers, Shani Sefer Torah Delushmiakai. A Sefer Torah is different for its use to be heard, so he'll still benefit from it even without ownership. So the story in Ada's magazine about how one Shutuf was able to testify on behalf of the other was opposite the picture of the townspeople whose Sefer Torah was stolen being told they could not serve as judges or witnesses in the case, which was right above the article about Shimon who wasn't allowed to testify about a field stolen from himself to prevent another party from claiming it, which reminds us, a braisa teaches that if one sold a house or field to someone, a maid will allow, he cannot testify for the buyer regarding it, because its responsibility is upon him, so he is no gea be'edus. On this daf, Rav Sheshes explains the case. Reuven stole a field belonging to Shimon and sold to Levi. A fourth person, Yehuda, came forward and claimed the field was his. The braisa teaches that Shimon cannot testify with another aid on Levi's behalf, because Shimon prefers that Levi retains it, so it will later return to Shimon when he proves the field was stolen from him. Daf Mem Dalet, so the symbol of Daf Mem Dalet is mud. So here goes. The man who sold a very muddy field. Muddy field? That must be one Daf Mem Dalet. Mud. The man who sold a very muddy field without a chrais and was not allowed to testify on the buyer's behalf because he might just be trying to save it for his own debtors, which reminds us, the Gemara rejects Rav Sheshes' interpretation of the brais in the previous daf, and instead explains that the brais it teaches the principle of Rav Bar Shmuel and Shmuel's name. If one sells a field to his fellow without a chrais, he cannot testify on the buyer's behalf regarding it against someone claiming the field was his and not the seller's, because he places it before his creditor to collect on an earlier debt. He stands to gain from his testimony even though he would not be responsible to reimburse the buyer because by remaining the buyer's property, the seller's prior debt can be collected from it. So the man who sold a very muddy field without a chrayas and was not allowed to testify on the buyer's behalf because he might just be trying to save it for his own debtors, was allowed to testify that the muddy cloak of potik he sold belonged to a buyer, which reminds us, the sefer of the previous braisa taught that if one sold a cow or cloak, he can testify on the buyer's behalf. Following the previous interpretation, this is because these items cannot be collected by his lender from a buyer because they're metaltalin. Even if they were in a potiki, specifically designated for collection, Rava taught they're not collected after being sold because their being in a potiki does not become publicly known. So the man who sold a very muddy field without a chrayas and was not allowed to testify on the buyer's behalf because he might just be trying to save it for his own debtors, was allowed to testify that the muddy cloak of potiki he sold belonged to a buyer, and that the calf lying in the mud who looked just like his mother belonged to a buyer as well, which reminds us, the Gemara persists that the seller of the cow should still have an interest in his testimony. Rav Papa said that although if one sold property without a chrayas and is collected by a debtor, the buyer is not reimbursed, but nimset she'enu shelo, if it was discovered never to have been his, chozolav, the buyer can return to him for reimbursement since there was no valid sale. If so, the seller of the cow should be disqualified from testifying since he gains from his testimony. The Gemara answers that the braisa's case is b'makibashi hibas chamoro, where the buyer acknowledges that he recognizes the animal is the offspring of the seller's donkey, or in our case, the seller's cow. His admission prevents him from demanding reimbursement from the seller, even if Aiden testified that it was not the seller's. Daf mem hey, so the symbol for daf mem hey is manishtana, and we use Pesach themes. So here goes. The father who bought a donkey to surprise his kids as an afikomen present. Afikomen present for saying manishtana so nicely? That must move on daf mem hey. The father who bought a donkey to surprise his kids as an afikomen present and was distraught when a goy seized it, claiming it was his, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas if a goy seized a sold donkey, whether the seller has to retrieve it. A memra says that the seller is never required to retrieve the donkey. Made a yadid the stam ovid kochavim anasu. The buyer surely knows that an ordinary idolater seizes what's not his and cannot be trusted. So the father who bought a donkey to surprise his kids as an afikomen present and was distraught when a goy seized it claiming it was his and was confounded when the craftsman who he gave a seder plate to fix with Edim was believed to say, I purchased this from you, which reminds us, the Mishnah and Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph taught that an uman, a craftsman, does not establish a chazak to own something by merely possessing it. Rava says this only applies where Edim saw the uman receive the item of a masal lo shel Edim, but if he gave it to him without Edim present, betoch sheyachol lomar lo hayudvarim ma'olam, since he could have told the first owner, it never happened that you gave the item to me, even if the item was seen in his possession, because he could have claimed he purchased it from someone else. Therefore, even when he says, I have it as a purchase item from you, he's also believed. Abai disagrees. So the father bought a donkey to surprise his kids as an afikomen present, and was distraught when a goy seized it, claiming it was his, and was confounded when the craftsman whom he gave a seder plate to fix without Edim was believed to say, I purchased this from you, was relieved when after seeing together with Edim his kittel in the hands of the launderer, that the launderer was not believed when he claimed to have bought it from him, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Ra avdo biyad uman, if one saw, together with Edim, his slave in the possession of a craftsman, who would teach him his trade, but the lisa biyad koves, or his cloak in a launderer's possession, and the craftsman claims to have bought it, he is not believed. Daf Mem Vav, so the simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow because cows go moo. So here goes. The man wearing cowhides, that must be more on Daf Mem Vav, Moo. The man wearing cowhides that belonged to someone else who was accidentally given his cowhides from the craftsman, which reminds us, a braisa teaches, Nishalpulo kelim bekelim bebeisa uman. If one's garments were exchanged with other garments in a craftsman's shop, haizeh yishtamish behen, he may use them, although they're not his, achi yavo halav yito shalo, until the other person comes and takes what is his. Bebeisa avol bebeisa mishta, but if the exchange happened in a mourner's home or at a feast, he may not use the garments. Rav reported that his uncle Rabbi Chiya explained the difference. So the man wearing cowhides that belonged to someone else, who was accidentally given his cowhides from the craftsman, was shocked when the man coming to switch garments was one of his ancestral sharecroppers, who could never establish a chazak, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph taught that an aris, a sharecropper, does not establish a chazaka. The Gemara asks, why? Adi in the pagva ashta kula. Until today, meaning 3 years ago, he only received half the produce as a sharecropper, and now has been taking all of it, which proves he purchased a property. Rav Yochanan answered that the case is barisei batei avos, ancestral sharecroppers whose families remain arisin for generations. Such arisin often alternate taking the entire crop for several years and cannot establish a chazaka. So the man wearing cowhides that belonged to someone else, who was accidentally given his cowhides from the craftsman, was shocked when the man coming to switch garments was one of his ancestral sharecroppers who can never establish a chazaka, and even more shocked when he was reviewing an Amalek siman aloud while thinking of a picture of Haman on a cow being chased by four men, which reminds us, a braisa lists four cases of edus which could hypothetically prevent collection from himself. The siman Amalek is given for the initials of the four cases, Arev, Malva, Lokeach, V'Kablan. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that an Uman or an Aris is proof that they own the property, such as with a star, their proof is accepted, unlike a Gazlan, that's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you have a case where the buyer acknowledges that he recognizes the animal as the offspring of the seller's cow, that's on Daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we learn that if one saw his cloak along with Adam in a launderer's possession and the craftsman claims to have bought it, he's not believed? That's on Daf Mem Hey. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn that a son who is no longer supported by his father can make a chazak on his father's property? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we have a case where Shimon was not allowed to testify about a field stolen from himself to prevent another party from claiming it? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn that the case of an Aris not being able to establish a chazaka is with arisei bati avos, ancestral sharecroppers? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do you learn a shutev can testify on behalf of his partner by writing that he has no claim or argument regarding this field? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn that Rav Huna says that if one was hung and made to sell something that the buyer demanded, the sale is valid? That's on Daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you have a case of two Adim in conflict of how much land Rav Kahana mistakenly annexed from his neighbor's field when he rebuilt a fence? That's on Daf Mem Off. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you have the Siman of Amalek to remember the four cases of Adis which could hypothetically prevent collection from himself? That's on Daf Mem Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.